All right, if you've got your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 8. We're going to go back to Acts and chapter 8. We're going to begin looking at verse number 26 this morning. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be gathered together here again this morning. Lord, and an opportunity to open your word and, Lord, truly just to see your direction from your word and your truth. Lord, I pray this morning that you would just speak your words through me and that, Lord, we as your church today might receive the message that you have for us. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. We pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago. We see, as a reminder, kind of where we left off, we see some of the early church, right? Some of the different aspects of the early church and some of the things that were happening in the early church, some of the disciples involved in the early church, very specifically the term deacon we've discussed up until this point a little bit. We see in the later part of, or the early part of chapter 8 where we left off last time, we were introduced to a man named Simon that had a desire to grab a hold of some of the things of the Lord more with a monetary will than a spiritual condition in his heart or a desire in his heart. To truly be in service to the Lord. And we see that the disciples bring him along to a better understanding of recognizing where we left off that it's most important to follow in relationship to Christ with the Spirit's direction rather than the things of the world. Man, what a message that the world needs to hear today, right? To look to the Holy Spirit for direction and guidance in our life. We see as we pick up in verse 26 this deacon, as we might see him mentioned earlier in the verses that we read, a man named Philip. In verse 26, it says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." We begin to think about, just as we start out this morning, in this picture of a man named Philip, we see an opportunity here to see the movement of God. Anybody last week had an opportunity to hear from the angel? Anybody heard any specific words from heaven, from the Lord, that you might remember, might think about? Do we see that today in the world that we live in? We see a little bit of a difference in the early church than we see today, right? We discussed this just a little bit back in some of the other chapters that we've read in the book of Acts. There was a little different appearance, a little bit different direction from our Heavenly Father to the early church than we see today. This man, it tells us here, Philip, was spoken to by the angel of the Lord. He was given some very specific direction. And we think about in our lives today, when we talk about direction from the Heavenly Father today, it's most important for us to recognize in the church that we live in right now, this morning, today, in our life, in the life of the church that we see it today, that we hear direction from the same God in a different way. We hear direction today. One of the most important things we could share to the world that we live in is that we hear from the Word of God, from the truth of God, that today as a church, our direction comes from the Holy Spirit that lives in us through reading the Word of God. That there is no special word that is given to any person today, and I know it's not a very common thing or something that we don't discuss a lot, and probably we would not want to hear some of the discussion that goes on in the world today about hearing from God, because you will find, if you're very serious about listening and hearing things from others, you will hear that there's other thoughts about this. There's other direction. But I think God gives us very clear direction today in the church that we hear this morning from the Word of God. Our direction for our life today, for each and every one of you, doesn't matter the situation you're in, doesn't matter life, whatever you're thinking about or looking toward or what direction you're looking for. If you want to know true direction today as a believer in Jesus Christ, we've got to look to the truth. And the truth comes from the Word of God. From not an outside source, not from a man, not from another woman, not from some special voice that we think we might hear, but it comes from the truth of the Word of God. And the challenge for the church today is to recognize, how do we hear from the Lord? And to know that in our heart. And so we see here a little different picture in the life of Philip. This angel had spoke to him. It says the angel of the Lord gave him some very specific direction. And now as we begin to think about a direction in the heart of the church today, what if today God's direction for you was to pack up and go to the desert? Anybody want to go to the desert today? I know in Southeast Colorado sometimes it feels like that's where we live, but the desert, think about the desert. The place that's dry, desolate, no green, no life. There's a picture when we think about the desert, right? Does anybody think about lush green grass and pretty trees and those kinds of things when you think about the desert? We know what the desert is like, right? It's not a place that we would desire. It's not a place of comfort. But for this man of God, in obedience to the direction of the Heavenly Father through the angel of the Lord, he is called to go to this place, right? He gives very specific direction. Go down, he says, that way, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now I wonder this morning in your heart and your life if you would be comfortable this morning if God called you to go to the desert. You know, the theme for most of us as believers today would be, yes, wherever God calls, I'm ready to go, right? We want to go, and we might say that in conversation with brothers and sisters in Christ. We might say that in our own homes, in our own families. We might say it in our own heart. God, I'm ready. I'm wanting to go. I want to be obedient to you, and whatever that looks like. And then in the very next thought, most of the time comes, but, right? With an exception. I'll go here if. I'll go here, but I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. We see a call for this man named Philip to go into the desert. And I want to challenge your heart this morning to think about that this desert in the life of the church today might mean something more than a geographical place. But today, as we recognize in the life and the heart of people that we see today in the world that we live in, and whether you realize it or not, we live in a world that is almost just exactly like a desert. You think about the condition of society that we live in today, and relationship with Jesus Christ, and what the world that looks like today that we live in. Does the political realm that we are seeing today look a little bit like a desert? Look a little bit like dry and hopeless and confused and lost? Do you ever think about the fact that sometimes in the heart and the life of individuals today in the world, that that's exactly what they might describe their life like? And there's a greater message for the church today than to think beyond just geographically that this man, Philip, was called to go to this place, but maybe very seriously for the church today that we're called to go to places that appear like a desert, to a place that is truly dry, to a message, to an opportunity today for the church, for us to recognize the desert and the struggling places in people's hearts and people's lives, their need for something more. Very specifically in the context of this verse, Philip was called to geographically to a desert. And it says in verse 27, we see the response from Philip, right? We see a very specific response in that verse. He arose and he went. Now, I want to put in your heart this morning, if God called for you to do something today, and maybe it does involve a desert, maybe it involves something that's really uncomfortable and something you're not used to doing, if God was calling for you to do that today in your life, would you be willing to have a reaction like we see here in verse 26 or 27, that he arose and he went? It doesn't tell us that there was any buts or ands or ifs or please do this first or please do that first, Lord. And the condition, right? There was no condition in Philip's thought and in his mind. His desire was to do what God had called him to do. And I wonder in your heart this morning, if God is calling for you to do something, are you willing to just simply go? Are you willing to just simply take that step of obedience? That step of faith that says, I believe that even though God might be calling me to the desert in Philip's condition, even though God might be calling me to a place that's uncomfortable, I believe that He's already there. And I believe that He's calling me there for a very specific purpose. And we see in the attitude of obedience from Philip's life that he had faith in believing that God had called him there, and so he went. It says very simply, he made no provisions, right? It doesn't say, and we read this in other verses in the Scripture, that many a times when Jesus was physically calling people to ministry with him, there was always an excuse, right? There was always a thought, well, let me go back and tell my family goodbye. Let me bury my dead father, right? Let me bury these things. Let me put aside, in today's terms, let me go give my 2 weeks' notice and then I'll do what you tell me to do, God, right? Let me just make some preparations. Lord, I'm willing to be obedient to what you've called me to do, but I've got to put a 5-year plan together before I can do it all. So we can get comfortable, right? Anybody ever, do you want to admit to thinking about in your life when God's called it, that you put into practice some other things first? That's human nature. And what we see in the direction in these verses from Philip was that he arose and he went. He got up immediately and he did what he was led of the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Lord. It says, "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot," read the prophet Isaiah, right? He's reading it. So now we see just a little bit picture, a little bit different picture here. We see that Philip is called to the desert. And just think about this for a minute. He's called to the desert and human nature says, why do I want to go to a place where there's nothing? Why do I want to get up and go to a specific place that God has called me? Why do I want to do what God is calling me to do in my life? And I want you to think for just a minute a couple of things that we see as an example in this verse, that you realize that God had called Philip to go to a place where in normal thought would say, there's nobody there. Why am I going? What is the purpose of going there? And what is the purpose in immediately doing this? And do you recognize just in the couple verses we just read how important it is sometimes today for the church, for us as believers, to just simply say yes and do what God has called us to do? If just for a second we think that Philip had chosen to wait a week to do what God had called him to do, would this Ethiopian eunuch be in a chariot in the midst of the desert reading the book of Isaiah a week from now? Most likely not, right? The hurdle that we face in the church today is just give me time, God. Give me time to do what you've called me to do. I'll do it, but I want to make some plans. I want to do some things first. And there's a reason that we see a very specific call here in these verses that Philip immediately rose up. And it tells us, well, because he rose up, he found what God had called him there for. He went to the desert and he went to this place, and we see that the eunuch is here, and it gives us a little description of this man, and it's important to put into reference this man that we're talking about. He's a servant of the king or the queen. He's a servant in high place, right? It says, who had the charge of all her treasure. He was in charge of her money and all of the things that she had. This is a pretty prominent man if we want to think about it today. In the context of the world, he had a position of authority, he had a place and an opportunity here. He was in charge of her treasury. He said he had come to Jerusalem, what? To worship. That gives us an indication of now we have to take into a broader account what we're reading in these verses. We've read up until this point a little bit about the early church. We've read up until this point about the persecution of the early church, right? You remember that? Not too long ago we read in the book of Acts about some persecution that was happening. What happened because of the persecution in the church? The church was scattered. And people were spreading. And you recognize because of the spread of the Word of God and because of the spread of the church and being persecuted and going out and faithfully sharing and preaching and teaching the Word of God, there's a man of Ethiopia that has now come to Jerusalem to worship. Why? Because he had heard of this Jesus. Because he had heard the message of a Savior. And it tells us in this indication is something that's important when we reference verses like this, that we see why would an Ethiopian come to Jerusalem? Because he had a desire to worship. He had a desire to know the things of God. Because he had heard the testimony and the witness of the church. And if as the church had not been persecuted and the message had not spread because of that persecution, and because believers had not been scattered out and been faithful to share the word of God, a eunuch might not have even been in Jerusalem at this moment. This Ethiopian man would not have been in this place. But it tells us a little bit about the church and the condition that we're seeing in the early church here. And this man had come to worship, and it tells us in verse 28, he was returning, and while he was returning, it gives us another picture of the status of this man, right? He's not in control of the chariot. He's kind of kicked back. He's relaxed. He's riding in the chariot, passing the time by reading the Word of God. The book of Isaiah, it says. It's telling us he's reading these things. In verse number 29, I want you to see, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." Now think about the condition here. Think about what's happened. Philip has been called by God to go out into the desert, to a place that really doesn't make a lot of sense. And now he comes into the midst of the desert and he sees this chariot, and is off in the distance there's this chariot. And it tells us the very same thing that's important for the church today. The Spirit spoke to Philip. That Spirit is the same Spirit this morning that lives in our heart and our life today if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you can say this morning that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then that Holy Spirit, Scripture tells us, moved into our life the moment we prayed to receive Jesus Christ. It's the very same Spirit that spoke. And it's the very same Spirit that speaks to us today. If we get serious about our relationship with Jesus Christ, we see that the Spirit is now speaking. And why is He speaking to Philip? And I want you to think about this morning. The Spirit is able to speak to Philip because he was obedient to do what the Father had called him to do. And I want you to think about that this morning. Today, in the world that we live in the life of the church that we see in 2019, there's a reason that the church is not led of the Spirit. And it comes to a very simple definition, a very simple understanding that we refuse to be obedient to the things of God. We've made decisions in our heart, in our life, at times today, to do what we want rather than what God has called us to do. As you begin to think about what would this look like for Philip to go out into the midst of the desert, and now he sees a chariot, and now as he sees the chariot, in his act of obedience, the Spirit now reveals to him the very next thing. And I want you to think about that today in your life. In your life. If you're struggling this morning, if you're hurting, if you're in a situation in your life where you don't know what is our next step, what is my next step in my life, what is God calling me to do? We have to recognize the pattern that God has set in His Word. Be obedient in what He's called for us to do today. And know that the Holy Spirit will lead us in what's to come tomorrow. Because Philip was obedient, he went to the desert in a place that didn't really make a lot of sense. And now because of his obedience, he sees this eunuch in a chariot that happens to be reading the Word of God. And I want you to think this morning, is it coincidence that there's a man in a chariot in the middle of the desert reading the book of Isaiah in a particular verse? If you read these verses, you got to study the history. These verses, and we'll read it here in these next couple of verses, Isaiah 53. Verses 7 and 8 is the verses that he's talking about. And it's no coincidence that this man is reading verses in the book of Isaiah that describe what Jesus did on the cross for us. It's not coincidence. And I promise you this morning, if you're obedient to Jesus Christ, coincidence goes out of the way and the Spirit begins to move. And the church can be what God has called us to be. What is the next step for your life? I don't know where you are this morning. You don't know where I am this morning, spiritually. But we can know that if we have fellowship with Jesus Christ and we're obedient to the will of the Father, He's got a next step for us. He's got a next step for each one of us, for this church. And Philip, it says there in that verse, the Spirit now told Philip, go. Now's the time to go. You want to know what to do and how to be obedient to the Lord and what's next for you? We got to take that next step of obedience. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. We got to know the direction of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Spirit told Philip very specifically, go and meet the chariot and join thyself to it. Look at the next verse. And Philip ran thither to him. Now I want you to think about it. Verse 30, we see steps of obedience in every verse, right? Did you catch that? The Spirit said, Philip, go to the chariot. And human nature says, I don't know who's in that chariot. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. I don't really want to go there, Lord. Right? I mean, we're in a desert of all things. Let's put it into perspective today. God tells for you to go across the street and knock on the neighbor's door. And you say, but I don't know who's there. And I don't know what they want. And I don't know what they're going to do to me when I do get there. God, I need a plan. Right? Today as a church, we need a plan. We need a 10-step plan before we'll do anything. Philip was told, go and join yourself to the chariot. And look at his response. We see obedience in these first few verses. We see another step of obedience. What did he do? He didn't cautiously go up there and plan for a day or so and try to figure out what was. It tells us there that he ran. He ran thither to him. He had such a desire to be obedient to the call of the Spirit in his life, he didn't even look back. He ran to the chariot. I don't know about you, this kind of makes sense. I mean, if the chariot's running along, it's going to take a little effort to get there, right? But he ran to the chariot. And he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Now he gets to the chariot. You think it started to make sense to Philip now? Maybe just a little bit. The Spirit says, hey, go to the desert. I don't want to go. Hey, go over there to the chariot. I don't really want to go to the chariot, Lord. Why do you want me to do that? And now he gets, after a long, hard run up to the chariot, he's beside the chariot, and now he hears something what? Familiar. He hears the message of God. And I want you to think about it this morning. When we get to this place in the life of the church where we recognize that God's Spirit is working in people's lives when we don't even have a clue. When God's Spirit and His direction is working, I want you to think about this this morning. There are people today in the world that we live in that are reading the Word of God that you never thought possible. There are people today that are searching for a relationship with the same Jesus that you have today that you might not even think about. And for this man here, Philip had no idea what he was getting into. But he went, and he was obedient. And when he got to the chariot, he hears him reading. Now I want you to think about this for just a minute. Philip now gets close to the chariot and he hears what? Something familiar. He knew the words, right? He knew the Word of God. He knew the truth of God because he'd studied it and taught it. He was living in it. And I don't know about you, but I think if we get in fellowship with other Christians and we get comfortable, right? We hear somebody saying something, I want you to think a little deeper than beyond just this idea of what we read here. But think about the fact that here's a man reading the Word of God. And Philip recognizes the Word, and he recognizes real quickly there's an opportunity here, right? Look at the question that he asks. He heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Philip got to the chariot. He said, "Do you understand? Do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you see?" And verse 31, look what he says. The eunuch said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now Philip, out of obedience, went to a desert and into a chariot, into a place where there's a man sitting that needed to hear the Word of God. He was reading it, right? He was studying it, but he didn't understand it. Philip asked the question. Now I wonder this morning in the life of the church, if you really have come to this place, have you ever just asked somebody if they understand the Word of God? You ever been in a conversation with somebody where you could just say, "Hey, do you understand what the Bible says?" We don't get to that place because we never go to the desert, right? We never go across the street. We never go down the road. We never go talk to our family or our friends because it's uncomfortable. Because we might get there and we won't know what to say. We won't know what to do. We don't have our plans laid out for us. But this man very literally asked, what does he say? "How can I know if somebody doesn't show me?" And I want you to think about it this morning. How can the lost world that we live in know about Jesus if the church won't tell anybody? If you're afraid to tell somebody about the Jesus that lives in your heart, how are they ever going to know? They can read it. You ever read a book and not really understood it? I promise you, people are doing it today. People will read the Bible. It is still one of the most popular books, highest selling books in our world today. Tells us what? People are reading it. They don't have a clue. They don't know what it's about. Why don't they know? Because the church is sitting at the church hoping they'll come in the doors of the church waiting, right? Where did God call Philip? To the desert. To the place where the eunuch was waiting. He called him to the place that was really undesirable. To a place of uncomfortable. To a situation that we don't know. And we began to think about it. How can I know except somebody guide me? So what does he say? Philip, jump up here, right? Get in here with me. And you don't think it's weird to go to the desert? Think about coming to a chariot and a stranger in the seat saying, "Hey, jump up here with me and tell me about it. I want to know about it." And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Now, I don't know about you, but if you've never read the Bible before, that's a pretty confusing couple of verses, isn't it? I mean, you think about somebody that they've gone to the church, they've come to the temple, they've worshipped, the eunuch's been there in an attitude of worship, but he left there still trying to determine, what does the scripture say? I don't understand what this means. And if you don't believe me, look at the next verse. That's what it says. The eunuch answered Philip and he said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Tell me, I don't understand. I've read this verse and I'm reading these things, and the understanding of this verse doesn't make sense, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Who is this man that was led to the slaughter? Who is this man that gave his life? In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Look at that. Then Philip, in verse 35, I want you to think about it. Here's the opportunity for the church, right? This is the hurdle we face today. We've gotten to this great, exciting place where somebody that's lost now asks us the question, right? Because you guys, every one of us, we have somebody every single day that asks us how to get saved, right? That happens to all of us, right? This man's asking, explain it to me, I don't understand. This guy is begging for more knowledge, for more understanding, for more wisdom. And I want you to think about the condition that we're in, the situation where two men sitting in a chariot in the middle of the desert. This is the call for the church today. There's no opportunity for excuse. There's no opportunity for this man to make a decision that says, I'm not real sure, right? What does Philip say? The very next verse tells us, Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. It's a moment of decision. The difficulty in our church today, in the life of the church as a whole in our society, is we get to the place of decision and we don't know what to do with it. This is where, very honestly, in many situations today, if Christians find themselves in a place where somebody's asking about the Word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ, we say, I'm not real sure. We have church at 11 on Sundays. Come and find out. Right? I'm not real sure. Let me have you talk to my pastor. Call this number. Let me let you talk to one of the deacons in our church. Oh, man, Philip is one of the deacons, isn't he? He's one of the leaders in the church. There is no opportunity for excuse. There's no opportunity for no challenge for him to get away. He's stuck in a chariot in the desert with this man. And he's asked the most important question that any person in the world could ever ask. Tell me who this Jesus is. Tell me who this man is. And it tells us here that Philip took the opportunity. It says he opened his mouth and at that very verse began to preach to him Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about it this morning. It's not by chance that this man was reading the book of Isaiah and reading a verse about a lamb that was led to the slaughter. It's not by mistake that the world that we live in today is searching the Word of God. And if as the church we're comfortable with the Word of God and the truth of God and we're studying it ourselves, it does not matter. I want to challenge your heart this morning. It does not matter what verse in Scripture somebody might be reading. We can always point them to Jesus Christ. You don't believe me? Look for it. They say, man, we go to the Old Testament and read that list of genealogy. How do you point that to Jesus? Well, where does it end up? Right? You get into some of the verses that people say, I don't even understand that. Well, we read all those goofy names and this person and that person begat this person and that person and the begats always get to Jesus. Don't tell me you can't lead somebody to Jesus through the genealogy. It's there. And if you can read them through a list of names and point somebody to Jesus, you can use any other verse in Scripture. And that's exactly what Philip did. He took him right where he was. He did. And I'm going to put this in your thought today. He didn't call the pastor. He didn't have cell phone out there and say, hey, what verse should I tell him to read, right? Where should I go? He didn't pull out his little cheat sheet and pull out the Romans road and say, well, let's go over here to Romans. Oh, shoot, we don't have Romans, did we? He didn't do the things that we're comfortable doing and saying, this is how I lead somebody to Christ. He began right there at that moment. It's the same place for us. How do we preach Jesus? If you didn't have your Bible in front of you, how do you preach Jesus to somebody today? Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them what the Spirit has done in your life. Our personal testimony could be all that God needs to lead somebody else to Himself. From that verse, from that moment, Philip opened his mouth, and at the very same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. And look, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. As they went on their way. What does that tell you? There's another important indication here for us to recognize this morning. That Philip didn't tell him about Jesus and then jump out the chariot, right? Did you catch that? That's kind of another trend that happens in Christian life today. We tell people about Jesus and then that's our opportunity. Hey, yeah, this is Jesus. Now come to church on Sunday. We'll teach you more about it, right? Come to church on Wednesday night when we have Bible study. We'll give you a little more information. No, Philip stayed in the chariot. And it says, as they're moving on, we see as they went on in their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't recall days like this. I've never had this opportunity. I haven't. When somebody has looked at me and said, tell me about Jesus. And then it's the very same day, just a few minutes down the road, they said, there's some water. Let me get baptized. The growing trend in the church today is that we get, this is the pattern that the world looks at. The world says that the true pattern of following Jesus Christ is get baptized, then figure out your relationship later. You realize that's not scriptural. Or we see another pattern, and we get somebody to the point of salvation, and then we say, well, now we want to teach you a little bit more about the Word of God. There's some very important things to grab a hold of from these verses today. We recognize this man, this eunuch, had been to Jerusalem. He had worshipped. He had heard the truth of God. He didn't quite believe yet. He had not come to a place of self-recognition of his sin and his need for a Savior, but he had heard the truth of God. And I think it's very obvious that it was evidence that he had to have seen baptism while he was there. Because a person that has never seen Jesus and never heard the Word of God and never been a part of something like that would not know they need to be baptized, right? But we're coming along all of a sudden and the eunuch says, hey, there's some water. Why can't I get baptized? Here's the water. See, here is water. What hinders me? Why can't we get baptized? And I want you to look at what Philip says. It's one of the most important messages we could ever learn in the church. One of the most important messages we could share with lost people today. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. What did he say? If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have confessed your sins before our Heavenly Father and you've accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior, you can be baptized. That's the message the church needs to share today. It's the scriptural message about salvation and baptism. It's not the norm of the church. It's not the norm of the world that we live in today. It's not comfortable. Because here's the trend that we see in society today. It says if you get baptized, you're going to heaven. That is not what our Bible says. Right? That is not what this man recognized. Philip did what every other Christian in the world ought to do. Make sure that lost people know Jesus Christ. And we don't have to worry about it. It eliminates a few things that are very common in our society today. We don't baptize babies. They can't get saved. They don't know what it means to accept Jesus as their Savior. They can't answer the question that the eunuch answered right there when Philip said, do you believe? They can't answer that. They don't believe. So why do we baptize them? When somebody comes down the aisle and they see, for us in our church, we get out the big ugly yellow stock tank and we put it up here to fill it full of dirty Fowler water. And they see it happen. And they wonder and they say, well, what keeps me from doing that? Nothing keeps you away from the baptism waters if you've believed in Jesus Christ. The message of the church today needs to be that we lead others to salvation through Jesus first. Then we help them to understand that that water is an identification of what happened in their heart. Philip did one of the most important things he could do. In the movement of the early church, he made sure that the church was still preaching the truth of God. And it's the message the church needs to hear and understand today. That we do not deviate from the truth of God. You think about for this man here, Philip's already called out to the desert. And think about just from the spiritual side of things, what could be going on in Philip's mind? Man, I've got a guy here. This is like fresh bait, right? He's right there. He's ready to be saved. He's ready to be baptized. Let's just get him out there and get it done. And we skip over some of the most important things. And Philip took a step of obedience and he said, if you believe, then you can be baptized. And he answered and he said what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Man, what a greater thing to hear today than in the life of a lost person to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the gift of a Savior. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Because he believed, look what it says. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both of them, into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, I don't know if you forgot where we are, but we're in the middle of the desert, right? Man, another coincidence. There's a lake with water so that somebody can get baptized in the middle of the desert. We don't serve a God of coincidence. We serve a God that is in control of everything in this world. Every person, every situation, every life, every second of every day. And if as the church we get to a place of recognizing that God is in control of every detail of our lives, even when we don't understand it. It's not coincidence that they were in the middle of a desert and there was water enough to baptize a man. And not just enough for him to get a little bit wet, but enough that Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And you get a little more specific about church doctrine and belief that we see right here in this verse. It tells us that they both got in the water. What does that mean? We don't sprinkle either, do we? They got wet. They got dunked underwater. That's the biblical definition of baptism. He got in the water and he buried that man in the water. Why? So that he could recognize the semblance of what happened in his heart. That he buried himself. He died to that old nature, to that old life. And he came out of that water, resurrected a new being because of Jesus Christ. Not because of the water, but because of the movement of the Holy Spirit. They got down out of the chariot. They went to the water. He baptized him. Look at verse 39. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Ashdod, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Oh, we don't know. Just think about what just happened. Baptism. This man is now saved. He's now baptized. He's in right fellowship with Jesus Christ. It says the minute that he came up out of the water, Philip was gone. He didn't see him anymore. Man, think about that. Think about that in the life of a new Christian. Think about that in the life of a faithful servant that went to a desert to do what God had called him to do. Philip was called to the desert for one very specific purpose, to be at the right place at the right time to serve God so that somebody else could come to know Jesus Christ. And you just think about the hurdles that would be faced in the life of every believer today if we made up all the excuses that would have come natural. I don't want to go to the desert. I don't want to talk to the person in the chariot. I don't want to see what this is about. I don't really want to go down into the water. I want you to think about it. The excuses that are made today in the church that would keep these kinds of things from happening. And it's happening every day in church life because we begin to hesitate and question what God has called us to do. What God is calling for us to do in our life is be obedient. I want you to recognize one very important thing, and I put this in your bulletin for you, and I know we didn't hit on them exactly the way it is, but it's there for you to think about. Three very specific things that it takes for God to work in people's lives. Right? You see it? First of all, they went to the desert. God gave a very specific call. Where to go? What do we do? Right? And what does he say? What is the very first thing we saw in the verses that we started out with? The Spirit worked, right? The Spirit of God began to move. This is how God works and brings lost people to himself, through the Spirit. The very next thing that we see is the Word of God, right? The Spirit moved. The Spirit not only moved in Philip's life, but he moved in the eunuch's life because he was already preparing his heart to hear the Word of God. He was studying the Word of God. And then because of the Word of God, we see this man's curiosity because he was studying the Word of God. And the very last thing is God used that man to share the gospel. It's a very important pattern for the church today. We want to see the movement of God in our community. We want to see the movement of God in our world. We've got to get those very three very specific things outlined. Listen to the Spirit. Let the Spirit work. Listen to the Spirit. Use the Word of God and be willing to be used of God when He calls you to. Those three things are recipe for what the world would call success in the church. It's not about filling the church with numbers. It's not about filling the church building with the amount of people we could fill in and then say we got to have a bigger building, let's build a little bigger, right? It's about getting people to understand their need for Jesus Christ and an opportunity to see them get right with Jesus so that we grow the kingdom of God. Three things that are important that I want you to put in your mind and your heart, if nothing else today from this message that we've studied, we've read it before, you've heard it. The Spirit, the Word, and obedience will bring people to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. I thank you, Lord, for the example that you've given to us this morning through the life of this man, Philip. Lord, a servant of yours, a faithful and obedient servant, Lord, that when called to the desert was willing and obedient. And Lord, because of his obedience, another individual is in heaven today. And Lord, I pray that you would put it in our hearts and our minds this morning as a church, that the call that you've given to us today is the very same. Lord, the very first and most important thing is to know that each and every one of us can say without a doubt in our heart and our life today that we've accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior. Lord, that we know what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we would take the next steps of obedience. Lord, that we would know and recognize in our life that the very next call that we see from the eunuch's life, Lord, was that he was desiring to be obedient in baptism. Lord, it's an important message for the church that we take the very first step of obedience so that we can know what the next step is in our hearts and our lives today. And Lord, I pray that it is the desire of our heart for those of us that can say we've done that today, Lord, that we want to be obedient to you wherever it is that you're calling us today. Lord, we want to be obedient individually, and we want to be obedient as a church. Lord, that we would be faithful to do what you've called us to do in the minute that you've called us to do it. Lord, recognizing and knowing that somebody else's life might be on the line. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see this direction and this guidance from your word today. Lord, you know every heart, you know every life here this morning. I pray in this time of invitation, Lord, that you'd help us to be obedient. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray you'd help them to walk down this aisle right now in the time of invitation, Lord, that we could pray with them, help them to understand today what it means to know you, to believe in you. Lord, if there's other decisions that we need to make today, Lord, there's steps of obedience. We need to take a step of faith and walk down this aisle and say we need to be baptized, be willing to do that. Lord, I pray you'd help us to make that decision today. Put aside all the worries and all the fears and all the doubts. Lord, if we've done those two very simple things, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to know the next step for our life. And Lord, I believe wholeheartedly you're working in the hearts and the lives of every one of us each and every day. And you're calling for a next step in each life, in each heart. I pray today that you'd help us to be obedient, whatever that might be, whatever it looks like. Lord, if there's sin that needs to be confessed, I pray you'd help us to be obedient to do that today. That we might leave this place, Lord, in the very same pattern and fashion that this eunuch was leaving, Lord, in rejoicing in who you are and the change that you make in our life today. And Lord, we're going to be careful to give you the praise. And we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. If you will stand with me, begin to use the hymnal. It's 275. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for your presence in this place and for your word. Lord, for your truth as you guide us in our hearts and our lives today. I pray that you'd guide us from this place this morning, Lord, that we're reminded of your presence and your direction. And Lord, that we are willing, Lord, in this week, in this time of life that you've given to us, Lord, to just be obedient to what you've called us to do, whatever that might be. Lord, that through our obedience, others might see you and come to right fellowship with you. And Lord, that your church would grow in the way that you've designed it to grow. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen.